Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me.
At Chicago, bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only, and the world is happy about that. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer. That's ageofthecustomer.com. Chester Elton is here, 11-year member of our Brain Trust, the leader of the Culture Works, the co-author of so many books that he's written with Adrian Gostick, and I'm looking at a dozen, probably. They've written, I don't know, what 20-something books now?
I mean, no. It seems like 20. It's been 10, but that's
something
a lot
under,
too, right?
Something under a billion sold across the galaxy.
Under a billion, yeah.
What motivates me is the title of the new one, and it's associated with a survey that you guys took and have compiled into some handy-dandy useful terms and conclusions. You came up with 5 motivational identities. We talked about that a little bit earlier. What I want you to do now is tell us about some of the generational things that you learned that can help us be better managers.
Right. Well, you know, what's really interesting, Jim, is you know, in the book, you get a copy of the assessment. You can take it for yourself,
yep.
Which is really important. Now, what we looked at, now that we've had thousands of people take the assessment, is these generational differences. You know, Deloitte in 2014 kind of put the stake in the ground and said, look, you've got to figure out generational differences, millennials in particular, because in the next 10 years, now, in the next 9 years, 75% of the workforce is going to be millennials. And they're different. You know, just like baby boomers, we were different, and people had to learn how to manage us and govern us. The one big thing that pops out about millennials, and you hear this time and time again with the customers we work with, the clients we've got, is that millennials don't stay. You know, they don't tend to go from the mailroom to the boardroom, which was kind of the baby boomer.
Which is always maybe in the last few years, as I've internalized this and reported on what you just said many times. You know, and as you and I've talked about engagement and motivating people and encouraging them, I'm thinking, how do you talk to a millennial about engagement?
Well, that's the thing. What we found was, and we've got a really nice partnership with the Conference Board, you know, a nonprofit that puts together all the interesting data. And over the next 12 months, as the economy improves, almost half of millennials are looking for a new job. The idea that I'm going to come stay with you and I'm going to work really hard, but I'm probably only going to be with you for 3 to 4 years. You know, this idea of building up equity in an organization.
Right.
You know, pensions are rare if ever offered.
Non-existent.
Yeah, almost non-existent. And then you've got the idea of, okay, I'm going to vest my shares and so on. Really not interested. Millennials don't believe it. You know, they saw their parents, you know, with their funds and so on that were lost in the recession, and so they really are looking for experience. Now, here's what's great is they tend to be really smart, and you need to engage them right away.
Capable.
So you onboard them quickly
and capable,
very capable.
Not just smart, but capable. I mean, listen, Chester, when you and I showed up out of college, or you showed up before college. When we showed up in the marketplace in the workforce, we didn't know anything. Everything we learned from our mentors. We were almost useless the day we showed up. Today, millennials show up on the job. They got skills.
Oh, absolutely.
We give them responsibility day one.
Right, and that's the key. You know, get them working really hard, really fast, because they'll do that. But then understand that, you know, and one client I had referred to millennials as doing their tour of duty, which I thought was an interesting, you know, that they'll be with you for 3 or 4 years, but when they've learned as much as they think they can, they'll move on. So we wanted to take a look at, in particular, what are millennial motivators?
And you know what, Chester? I talk to my millennials that way.
Really? Good for
yes,
you.
Yes, I do. I tell them, I say, look, I know you're not going to be here forever. You're obviously not going to spend your career with me because I'm going to be gone. but no, I talk to them about that.
And see, I think that's really important. That yeah, everybody understands the ground rules. I'm going to be here. I'm going to work really hard. But I'm not going to be here for a long time. So to that point, we said, okay, let's divvy up the database. what are the top three motivators for millennials, and what are the least motivating things for millennials? So I'm going to ask you really quick, what would you think would be one of the top three motivators for a millennial?
Flexibility.
Flexibility, interesting. The number one motivator that we found from our research was impact. They want to make a difference. 64% of the millennials in our database said that I want a job that's going to have impact. Mm-hmm. Second was learning. Okay, I want to be able to grow and develop. Challenge me, to your point. Give me some responsibilities. And number three, and this we found really interesting, is family. To your point, flexibility. I want to have time.
And when I say flexibility, that obviously covers things like, you know, as you said, it covers family. I mean, if they've got, and that's what we do here. I mean, in our work, in our place here, we don't clock in or out, and that we just tell them they got to get their job done. Now they have to show up and spend the day with us, but you know, if they get their work done, they need to take off some time. Then you know, we let them go.
Yeah, I mean the classic.
But I also tell them that's not going to happen everywhere, so don't fall in love with it.
So it's the whole idea of the work life balance.
Yeah,
and you know, I want to do well, reward and recognize me, but don't hesitate to drop a note to my mom or my grandma or, you know, to my spouse. You know, let's involve the whole group.
Right.
Which leads us to the next part. So you say, okay, so if those are their motivators, you know, they want to make a difference. So there's impact, there's learning, there's family. We determined there were 23 significant motivators, right? Take a guess as to what do you think is one of the least motivating things.
When we come back after these messages, we're going to reveal that. That's a good cliffhanger for the next segment. Chester, I need your website, please.
TheCultureWorks.com. Real simple.
So check it out, folks. The new book is called What Motivates Me, and that's where the survey is, which you can still take. 10 till. I'm Jim Blessingame. Stay with us.
At least the mystery is gone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.